Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back again to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you with us. Indeed, it's my pleasure to be here again. I'm Doug Llewellyn, and our guest today is a very special guest. We're going to talk about nursing, the field of nursing, the healthcare field, specifically focusing on nurses. As you know, healthcare, as it becomes more complex, the demands are much higher, and patients are not only getting sicker. Technology can temporarily mitigate the problems, but the real solution lies in stronger leadership. Nurses, as you know, as everybody knows, represent the largest healthcare workforce, and unfortunately, there are now more nurse leaders leaving the profession than entering it. Nursing shortages, high turnover, and budgetary shortfalls are affecting clinicians, executives, and ultimately patients. And the key to moving forward is having strong nurse leaders who are willing to advocate for nursing in the C-suite. With nearly 20 years of leadership as a chief nursing officer and a healthcare executive, our guest, Dr. Katie Leary, is aware of both the challenges and the health that healthcare professionals face and the effect it has on both them and on their patients. Dr. Leary is the founder of what is known as the REACH Initiative, and this is where she guides and supports healthcare professionals toward greater collaboration, patient care quality, and job satisfaction. Dr. Leary provides outreach and support to people who are in the healthcare field, specifically nurses, to provide them with tools to advance and grow in their careers. As she points out, as strong bedside nurses move into advanced practice, the preparedness of less experienced nurses becomes quite a concern. There's this dynamic of nurses eating their young, because someone has experience doesn't mean they are a mentor or a leader. Are we really helping people learn to mentor someone else? That's the question she puts up. Network, or rather teamwork, competency, and camaraderie define the nursing profession. Nurses, of course, can improve quality and outcomes. They can enhance an organization's culture and build relationships with patients, colleagues, and with the community. And yet, there simply is not enough diversity in nursing leadership. Dr. Leary is dedicated to advancing nurses up the career ladder while meaningfully addressing the lack of diversity in healthcare leadership. As she says, diversity is merely an invitation to the party. Inclusivity is an invitation to the dance. When you show up as a BIPOC, a woman in a leadership role, you must jump higher and go faster. So it's about tearing down what we've always believed to break through. So anyway, Dr. Leary was fortunate enough to have mentors and supervisors who saw her potential for leadership, and she is now helping clients think differently and extend themselves beyond the patient's journey. So that's a little bit about what we're going to be talking about today. Dr. Leary is based in Middletown, Delaware, and again, she is the founder of the REACH Initiative. We're going to learn all about it, and I'm sure it's going to be fascinating indeed. Dr. Leary, it's a pleasure having you here. Welcome. Nice to have you with us today. I have a question to start us off. I said when you show up as a BIPOC, what is that?
Well, first of all, Mr. Llewellyn, thank you for having me.
I appreciate the
opportunity. I'm a long-time fan of yours.
Thank you so much.
No, I mean that. I'm a People's Court watcher, avid watcher. So, and I find time to do that to fill my personal needs for edutainment, if you will. So,
okay.
In terms of being a BIPOC leader, I really do feel that it's important for us to identify who these folks are, and it is pretty much people of color that it's referring to. And it's important for people to understand that it doesn't necessarily look a certain way because people of color comes in many shades and forms and sizes, but it's really to add to the diversity that nursing needs in the workforce and what nursing needs in terms of nursing leadership. And if you think about healthcare overall, there's work to be done there too. So it's really about having the workforce and the leadership and the board reflect the people that it's in the community that it serves. That's why it's important for us to identify these leaders, understand what the numbers look like, and not just in totality, but where leadership counts, and really driving towards intentional action to move those numbers in the right direction so that there is a mirroring with the community in terms of makeup and demographics.
That's very interesting. But just to repeat, BIPOC, which I started to say BIPOC, which you did. I said BIPOC. Just define that for me, BIPOC. I get the POC. What's the BI?
So BI is really about it's interesting because I've seen a lot of different definitions of it, but it's mm-hmm. Black Indigenous People of Color. That's what it really means.
Oh, there. Okay. I just learned that. Black Indigenous People of Color, BIPOC.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Thank you.
Sure.
I needed that cleared up, so I felt like an idiot saying it that way.
It's relatively new, so it's okay.
That's good enough. All right. Obviously, you're a nurse. Is that why you're focusing on nurses? The question is, why nurses in this field? Obviously, you see there's a need for this.
Yeah, I do. And, start for the fact that I'm a nurse. But I do have people that I support that are not. And that came by accident because I'm an all boats rise kind of leader and executive. So I do feel that we're all in a sandbox trying to make this work. And I don't really set what I do specifically for nurses, even though I have a program that's curtailed and is really set up for that group, but it's really for healthcare executives and wannabe executives overall. So, but nurses, as you know, is the largest workforce. 30% of the healthcare workforce are nurses. There are 4.2 million nurses in the U.S. and growing. There is a need to look at that group to make sure that they are identified as the leaders that they are, because leaders come in many shapes or forms. You can be a leader at the bedside, or you can be a leader in the boardroom. And you can build leaders as soon as people come out of nursing school, all the way through to wherever that may lead them in their career. So, and of course, I have a soft spot for nurses because, of course, I am a nurse. I'm the first nurse in my family, so there you go.
It's a tough field. I'm very familiar with it because I'm married to a nurse, and I've been many, many years to a nurse.
Congratulations.
And I know what they go through. The hours are long. And I know that, we talk of these 12-hour shifts that nurses, have to serve in hospitals. That's tough. That's really tough.
It is.
Anyway, one of the things that you are really focusing on is the lack of mentorship for younger nurses, newer nurses. And as you point out, it used to be the norm, but now there isn't that much emphasis placed on it. Is it not expected? Would that be right?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think people feel that it happens anyway, or maybe that on the other end there are people that feel that it's not needed as long as it's part of your transition to practice for your development. You develop those relationships. It may come in the form of the person that trains you, your preceptor. It may come in the form of your manager, your boss. And what I do with a lot of people that I work with, I try to get them to see how to build their social capital, where it is understanding who it should be your mentor, how you define that, how do you make sure you seek one if one's not provided to you, who's your role model, who are you supporting as well, a peer that you can rely on properly for soundboarding. It's really important to identify all those different pieces for folks that so they can build their network so they can be successful. But the most important one, I believe, is to have a mentor. And it's important to understand the how crucial that is, because making the transition, you just said it, Doug, working 12-hour shifts, that's one thing. But there's so many things that happen within that 12-hour shift that a nurse may leave at the end of that shift feeling defeated and empty. because for the most part, it's hard for you to meet a nurse that will say, you know what, I got everything accomplished that I set out to do while I was planning on doing this during this shift. Very unlikely that that happens. So it's important for them to understand how to delegate, how to lean on others for support, how to use critical thinking. And that's where a mentor could really fill in those gaps for you beyond what you learn in the academic setting.
Let's talk a little bit about the REACH initiative, which you founded. And I wonder if you can explain exactly what all you do, because as I gather, you not only coach nurses, you mentor them as well. And, you know, you're preparing them for more, you know, and executive, I guess, executive level positions in the nursing field.
Yeah, and all of the above. Even if you're planning on being a manager or a lead in your department or on your unit or on your floor, those were all included too. So I started the REACH initiative after I finished my doctorate degree because I really felt pulled towards doing something in the arena of social change. I felt that I had to do something to impact the world on a larger scale, but of course start small. So I set up this organization really for there to be a focus on helping people move up the ladder. Even if it's something that you don't envision for yourself, maybe a few years down the road, there are some skills that you can attain and learn as you're moving along in your career. And part of it also, because most of my clients are women, and it's interesting understanding the gender dynamic, but if you think, what I try to get people to think differently about is how often do you think about the rest of your career as a woman compared to what a man does? And the statistics and evidence shows that women probably think about that maybe once or twice a year while men think about their careers every day. And how would that change how you show up? How would that change your interactions, who you engage with? So that's part of what I try to do. Yes, I do have a focus on women leaders and the BIPOC community, but a lot of what I do and the framework that I use, and it varies based on the person because it's really a partnership, is based on the needs. It applies to every person that I interact with, no matter where you are, who you are, your demographics, your background, it's adjustable content as well. So it's really about helping people get to the other side of what do I do next in my career and be more confident in what they want to do and drive towards it.
You know, then you bring up an interesting question. My assumption is that when a nurse finishes her education and becomes gainfully employed as a nurse in whatever position it might be, that she's reached, you know, she's reached the level where she wants to be. Most nurses, I wouldn't think they're like guys in the, you know, in a corporation who are always heading for a bigger job at a lot higher salary, because from my perspective, there aren't that many positions in that field in that regard. But I could be totally wrong. So explain that.
Yeah, so nursing has so much to offer. This is a practice in so many different settings. Even if you focus on one main setting, 60% of nurses practice in the acute care setting, which is like your hospitals, where patients are mostly sick. And even in those settings, there's so many different roles that nurses have. And then you have all the different specialties within. So that's where the opportunities lie. And as a matter of fact, there's some, because nurses tend to move around a lot to test, like one day they'll probably be on a unit delivering babies, and then the next day they're probably working in ICU. During the pandemic, a lot of nurses were forced to move out of their comfort zones and work in specialties they've never worked in before. There is so much that nurses do, even in the settings that they're in. And then if you think beyond those settings, the non-traditional settings where nurses are in policy, legislative branches. I think we have two or three nurses that are currently serving in the Senate or in the House. You do have this variability where nurses are in insurance companies, you name it. So the world is your oyster if you're a nurse, and it's definitely not the traditional, I finished nursing school and I'm at the bedside working, because that used to be the pass-through. Now nurses are going into sales and a number of different other areas of practice, and we respect them all. It doesn't necessarily mean that because you're practicing at the bedside, you're the best nurse. We need all of these different pieces to make the world go around in nursing.
So tell me a little bit about how you came to fund. Give us your background, by the way. I mean, you're more than a nurse. You're a doctor. Talk us about your background. How did you reach this point in your career?
Sure. It was a windy road. I thought I was going to be an accountant because that's what my dad was. And then I had someone who saw me a little bit lost after I finished high school and directed me to pursue a scholarship to enter into a health career. And I was running late, and I ended up in a short line because I had to go to work, and it was in line for nurses. And that's really how I became a nurse. I saw through the program, I started to like it, and I became a nurse. I started my career in a public hospital in D.C., and that was during a time where, believe it or not, there was a nursing surplus. And it was hard to get a job. And then after that, I decided to move to the perioperative setting, which is where procedures are done and operations are performed. And I loved it, and I did that for a number of years, and then I moved into leadership positions. And this is the thing to what I try to do as a coach. I never really thought about my career. I just moved along and went with the flow. I had people that reached out to me and said, how about you consider doing this, because we have a vacancy all of a sudden, and you seem like the better person to pick from the lot. And that continued through a major, most of my career, actually, and that's how I moved up. And while I was doing that, I went to school. I got my bachelor's degree. I got my master's. I got a dual master's. And I decided, I think in 2017, to pursue my PhD, which I did. And I finished that in 2020. And here I am doing work with the REACH Initiative. So I've had some really good people in my life that's helped open doors for me, gave me the opportunity to see what I can do. But not everybody has that. So that's why I focus on helping people optimize their potential, unlock their potential so that they can be ready for those positions and actually intentionally go after those and be successful in attaining those positions.
Good for you. What a remarkable career you've had. And now you're with the REACH Initiative. Are you involved in coaching nurses? Do you do that? Or there's so much this initiative does. Talk about that and what you do with them.
Yeah, I do coaching mostly. I do some mentoring as well. I also do some education. I just did a talk at the Philadelphia chapter on coaching in the post-pandemic era, understanding that the people that we coach now are mostly folks that have suffered trauma. So how do we change our approach given who we're talking to now, because it's not the same person that you were working with before the pandemic. So there's education. I also engage in some panel discussions as well, and anything to lift the profession and improve the image of nurses and nursing falls in that arena. I work with companies as well. I do some curriculum work as well. And I also teach. I teach at the University of Maryland as an adjunct professor. So I also use some of those opportunities to feed in or work in some coaching materials with my teaching as well with nurses that are in their doctoral programs.
So do you think the REACH Initiative is having an impact?
I would hope so. For me, it's a starfish method, right? It's one at a time, and one nurse that I help is one nurse that did not have those resources before we connected. I'm not egotistical in thinking that it's I'm the panacea to fix it all, but I know that I leave people thinking about what's possible. And for me, that makes all the difference. And for people that I work with, these are relationships that I sustain over time to continually support them in any way that I can. And I also have people that reach out to me errantly on social media after seeing my profile. And, you know, Without any obligation, I give them advice. I have people that will say, I'm interviewing for this C-suite position. You know, how did you do it? What do you think I should focus on? What should I research? And I help them with some of those efforts as well, because I'm all about changing whatever I can in whatever capacity I can. And it's really about that. It's less about me. It's more about how we can reshape the world and how we lead.
You know, you talk about this field being so critical, in which it is, but there is high turnover. A lot of nurses are leaving the field. What do you think can be done to stop that?
Ooh, that's a heavy question. It's hard because I think there's so many different pieces. It's multifactorial in terms of why the profession is in the state that it's in. And some of the issues that we've been facing have been there for a very long time. So for one, I think nurses do need to open the pipelines a little bit more for more people to see this as a respectable profession. I think for 18 or 19 years in a row, it's been seen as the most trusted profession, but we want to also be the most respected as well. So there's work to do there to get people to raise their hands to want to be a part of this profession. It's not, and it's mostly female. We would like for there to be more diversity in terms of gender as well, in addition to racial background. I think the other piece is what we were talking about in terms of the Eat Your Young, and you mentioned that in the intro, where nurses need to support other nurses and mentor and coach and support others as they're coming into the field. We believe also that healthcare institutions and healthcare administrators need to think differently about this workforce and provide them the support that they need because, as you said, Ms. Llewellyn, it's a very taxing field to work in. 12 hours is a long time for all that nurses have to do, and particularly during the pandemic, nurses had to bend over backwards and go above and beyond, and they were everything to patients that were sick, particularly the ones that were sick with the virus, right? They played doctor, they played housekeeper, they played food service deliverer, they played family liaison, and it's a lot. So how do healthcare institutions and those leaders in those institutions provide resources for nurses to feel supported, to engage them? Because as much as they are the most trusted profession, they can also, in turn, at the same time, be the most dissatisfied because a lot of what they're seeking for support is not really there. And I do understand because I was an administrator too. Resources are scarce. Right now, even with the jobs report that came out today, hospitals and healthcare still saw losses in jobs. So it's a very tough place right now business-wise, but there are some creative small token things that can be done for nurses to feel valued and supported. And that's where the opportunities lie.
Well, that's a very complete answer. That's very good. I'm just wondering, I understand that there are predictions there's going to be a huge nursing shortage in a couple of years. Do you really think that's a possibility? Is it going to happen?
Yeah, well, we have, even prior to the pandemic, every year there is a prediction of a shortage, and there is. And there's a shortage not just with actual bodies, but there's shortage in terms of competency because we talked about the acute care setting. That's where we need a lot of competency and bodies, and we're seeing an exodus there. So a lot of nurses now that are in those settings are new to practice. I just had a talk with some new with some student nurses, and they were concerned about how they'd be put in a position to train other nurses coming in with only being 6 months on the job, right? That is a concern.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
There's a reason for that. There are not a lot of people left to train the new folks that are coming in. So that is a concern, and I think we have some work to do to really shore up the profession so that we address some of these gaps and these holes that's making people want to leave. We're also seeing data that's indicating that due to the pandemic, there are a number of nurses that plan on leaving the field or leaving the areas where nurse patients are the sickest, where we need them. We need, and this is where advocacy comes in, right? We need governmental attention and legislative attention to this issue because who will care for us if we were to go in? And it's not just about having someone, but it's about being in the right setting and having the right personnel to care for you based on what you're presenting when you show up. So I think there's a lot that could be done outside of the profession to help it. And part of this is bringing attention to that so that our senators, our representatives, House representatives, and some of our local officials can pay attention to this issue and help with addressing it from that end as well.
And let me also mention and bring up the moment or so we have left about the lack of leadership and women of color and other marginalized groups in leadership roles. Do you think it's improving in that category?
I don't have any statistics on that. That's not those are numbers that are not typically collected. But I will say, with what happened recently, particularly after with race inequity and social justice being on the front burner for a lot of organizations, I've seen some changes anecdotally about more opportunities being made available to people of color, but there's still so much work to do. There's still so much work to do. And the key thing is for us to fix it, to address it, we need to be able to measure it. And there has to be some attention to measuring where we are so we can see that the dial is moving in the right direction.
Well, that's good to hear. Really very good to hear. Young nurses, I'm really wondering who you think would be great to reach out to the REACH initiative. Who would benefit from, you know, do nurses join it? How does it function for new nurses coming into the field?
Yeah, great question. So if you're a new nurse and you're interested in the REACH initiative, I have a website and just drop me a note and I'll get back to you. And that's all it takes. There's a quick box questionnaire in terms of what you're looking for. It's joinreachinitiative.com. And that's all it takes is to go on the site and put in your basic information, and I'll reach out to you and see how I can help you. I'm also on LinkedIn, Katie Boston Leary, and that's another way that people reach me. So it just takes that, and it's come one, come all. And it's not to say that I can help everyone, but there's certainly opportunity for me to connect with people who can help you if I can.
What a great invitation indeed. Dr. Leary, it's been amazing chatting with you. That was very gracious for you to offer that. Again, the website is joinreachinitiative.com, joinreachinitiative.com. If you go there and you're a young lady about to be a nurse, or you're a young nurse already.
Or young man. Mm-hmm.
Or young man, that's right. Young man as well. Check it out. Join the REACH Initiative. Again, joinreachinitiative.com. Dr. Katie Leary, thank you for being our guest today. It's been great having you with us. And congratulations on what you're doing, and more power to you. Okay? Thank you, sir,
and thanks for your work, too. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Thank you, ma'am. Well, a fascinating discussion with Dr. Leary, all about the field of nursing and what's going on in that arena. And it's a remarkable field, though, a very honorable field. And nurses, I must tell you, I can tell you from experience, make great moms. They really do, that's for sure. Thanks for being with us, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. It's been a pleasure being with you today. We'll see you next time right here on Close Up Talk Radio. Until then, take care of yourself and be safe. Okay? See you later.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.